Hello and welcome to the Miko Bits show. And today, I'm very excited. I have Sota Watanabe, who is from Plasm, which is a very exciting project. I'm really eager to understand more about this. So, you know, I think without further ado, I mean, you know, of course, I have to say that this is an opinion and entertainment show, so it's not investment advice. So, you know, anything we talk about, you should get a licensed advisor if you're interested in investment advice. So, you know, without further ado, here is Sota-kun. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Nico.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. So, getting right into it, what is the problem solved by Plasm?
Yeah, in one sentence, Plasm Network is a multi-chain smart contract hub on Polkadot that supports Ethereum Virtual Machine, WebAssembly, and also Layer 2 solution. So currently, we have a lot of problem in the blockchain space, but two biggest problems are the scalability and interoperability. So blockchain is not connected by design. So Bitcoin is Bitcoin, Ethereum is Ethereum. But let's see the internet of today. So internet is connected, but it was not connected. It is connected thanks to TCP/IP protocol. So I think the next big thing is going to be interoperability. So we would like to connect a lot of blockchain to Plasm networks through Polkadot. And also another big, you know, problem is scalability. Ethereum does not scale, so the gas price is really high. The Binance Smart Chain is scalable, but it is centralized. So our problem is how can we make it scalable with decentralized way? So this is like Polkadot and Plasm Networks comes in.
Fantastic. Very excited. Do you have sort of ideas or numbers about how scalable this will be? Like I'm very interested. I've heard that, for example, Binance Smart Chain is really only about 4 times faster than Ethereum. So it's not terribly scalable. It's really just a linear improvement, you know. So I'm curious what your thoughts are about scaling.
Yeah, Polkadot is not ready, and the old Polkadot blockchain is based on Substrate. So Substrate is a blockchain framework that, you know, that has a lot of custom module. So if you would like to make very scalable, you know, blockchain, you can import layer 2 module, probably POA consensus module, and so on. So natively, Substrate has around 2,000 TPS, transaction per second. But it depends on the environment, right? It depends on the number of the validator. It depends on the use cases. So in our case, we would like to make Plasm Network more than 2,000 TPS, but it's still under the experiment stage.
Yeah, that's very exciting. And, you know, it, with respect to kind of performance increases, like, I think that's going to be a big thing. And, you know, how do you see the whole gas price problem?
Yeah, regarding the gas problem, I have to mention two things. So first thing is the price. So generally speaking, if the price of Ethereum is going up, the gas price is going to you know, be up, right?
Yes.
As well, because the price is going up. So this is the problem. But and the second thing is the gas have to be paid in ETH in case of Ethereum.
Yes.
But our implementation is different. So you can pay gas fee with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the Plasm Network token on Plasm Network. So you can choose which token to use for the gas fee. And the also, Substrate has an interesting feature. So the gas price is not linear. It's going to be gradually decreasing. You know,
oh, wow.
If the price of the token is going up, the gas price is gradually decreasing. Yeah, well, one of the great things of the Substrate is the customizability. So we can implement blockchain based on use case. At this moment, we have to, you know, implement use cases based on blockchain because we cannot change the protocol, right?
Yes.
But in case of Substrate, it is different. We can customize blockchain itself based on the use cases.
Wow, That's so interesting and it's so important, right? Because obviously there are some use cases that require quite a bit of performance. Some require quite a bit of consensus, right? And security, right? So in a sense, like I like this. I like these kinds of thinking, and I think that's a very next generation thinking.
So
in terms of like how is it going? Like, where are we in the Plasm journey?
Yeah, that is a good question. So we are going to connect Plasm network to Polkadot. Polkadot is a heterogeneous blockchain ecosystem. And once we connect our blockchain to Polkadot, the most important thing is we can get security from Polkadot. You know, anyone can make, you know, own blockchain with Substray, independent blockchain.
Yes.
But independent blockchain have to secure the you know, we have to prepare the security by ourselves.
Yes.
If we deploy our blockchain.
Correct.
It is really tough.
Yes.
You know, small project cannot make stronger security. So correct. Once we connected our blockchain to Polkadot, we can import the Polkadot security to Plasm network. So this is the biggest thing, since, you know, security is the, one of the most precious resources in the blockchain ecosystem. So regarding the status, Polkadot does not have a parachain yet. And the Xama does not have a parachain yet. And Xama is the sister network of Polkadot and the Canary network. So we are going to connect our blockchain to Xama first and then Polkadot. And the Gavin Hood, he is the creator of Ethereum, Polkadot, Parity, and Web3 Foundation, announced the roadmap. I think Xama parachain auction is going to be, you know, happened in 1 or 2 months.
Wow.
So, yeah, actually, we are ready to, you know, connect our blockchain to Xama. So, waiting for the auction.
Wow, that's super exciting. Yeah. Yes, so... you know, for the audience's sake, the parachain auction is really that there are a limited number of slots to connect and get the security from Polkadot, right? To get the entire Polkadot infrastructure to support the parachain, right? So that in a sense, like this becomes like a first class citizen of the Polkadot ecosystem, right? Instead of just a toolchain user, right? Because one of the things that's interesting comparing this to something like Cosmos IBC is that in a sense Cosmos is much more of just a toolkit, right? It's much more of just everybody go ahead and download it and have fun, right? Do whatever you want and that's it, right? So Polkadot has this idea of the runtime infrastructure, you know, being all collected under Polkadot, and that official parachains have an opportunity to be protected by the mothership. So that I just wanted to explain because there may be a lot of my viewers are mostly Ethereum. So, that, you know, this may be a new concept, but I, you know, it's very exciting. One thing I wanted to add just as a disclosure is my fund, Gumi Cryptos Capital, is an investor in Plasm. So, you know, I just want the audience to know that that's a fact. I'm curious about... kind of the some of the sort of progress, project progress, you know, I think in terms of things like the application development, right? Because obviously you have a very exciting development model, you know, you have a EVM model, right? So I think that's going to bring a lot of excitement, you know. So how's the programming model and the you know, early use cases and, you know, how's all that development coming?
Cool. I think the Plasm network ecosystem is going to be bigger and bigger. A lot of project is going to deploy, you know, use cases. At this moment, we are supporting some of the NFT project and also DEX project. And they have already deployed, you know, use cases on our testnet. But we are waiting for the Xama parachain and the Polkadot parachain. So we cannot deploy the mainnet yet.
Yeah.
So once Xama is ready, we are going to launch a mainnet. And once we launch the mainnet, they are going to deploy the same use cases on Xama parachain. So currently we are working with around 40 projects, and the around, you know, 20 projects has already deployed the use cases such as DEX, NFT, NFT marketplace, API service, and the Oracle, and so on. And we are going to introduce the next generation incentive scheme for DApp developer. I think the most precious, you know, people in a blockchain ecosystem is always DApp developer. This is our philosophy, and we are making the developer oriented ecosystem. So we have a DApp staking. So if you have a PLM token, you can stake PLM token not only on network, proof of stake network, but also on DApps. So let's say Uniswap is building on Plasm network, just an example. You can stake PLM token on Uniswap. Then you can get the rewards based on Uniswap performance. And also Uniswap developer can get PLM token from block rewards. So this means the Uniswap developer can have the basic income by making smart contract on Plasm network. So this is very new. So if you are making something on Ethereum, you have to pay gas fee. And the gas fee is not cheap. You have to pay $300, $500, even more.
Yes.
And you're gonna lose money, but in a very short run. But Plasm is different. If you deploy smart contract on Plasm network, you have to pay the gas, but you can get revenue from block rewards. So the revenue should be higher than the gas fee. So you are sustainable.
Yes.
And the revenue is from block rewards. So if the block is mined, the block reward will be distributed. So I would say this is one of the most sustainable and the more decentralized grants for the all developers in the ecosystem.
Wow. I like this powerful mechanism, and I like your prioritization of developers. I think that's the smartest thing to do. So I'm curious your position with respect to multi-VM, which is that, you know, the programming container model can include Wasm and can include kind of EVM Solidity, right? So obviously, initially, EVM Solidity has this beautiful quality where you can bring across from Ethereum very nice applications that are proven and audited and, you know, have incredible strength and popularity. But like, how do you see this longer term? Like, how do you see the Wasm model, and how do you see this multi-VM model like that? Because it's a very exciting idea. So I'm curious how you see it unfolding.
Cool. Yeah. Ethereum virtual machine was great invention. But WebAssembly is better than Ethereum in terms of, you know, the performance. But in case of Ethereum, even they're going to migrate from Ethereum virtual machine to Wasm, Ethereum WebAssembly.
Yes.
But at this moment, Ethereum is better than WebAssembly. You know, so in case of Ethereum 1.0, EVM is better than Ethereum WebAssembly in terms of the performance.
Yes.
Because we don't have enough clients, and we don't have enough technical implementation just yet. So a lot of projects are using Ethereum virtual machine, and if they are deploying Solidity contract already, so they don't want to make another implementation at this moment. Yeah, that's why it's important to support Ethereum virtual machine on Polkadot as well. Yeah, by doing so, a lot of projects can, you know, migrate from Ethereum to Polkadot, or they can make multi-chain use cases both on Ethereum and Polkadot. But Ethereum virtual machine on Polkadot is provided by Parity Technologies, and this is not like a big, it is not big differentiator from our project perspective, because it is provided by Parity Technologies, and it is like a common good. So anyone can copy it. So what makes Plasm networks different? So we have a WebAssembly implementation as well as Ethereum virtual machine implementation. And today you can deploy any Solidity contract by using MetaMask and the Remix. And in the future, Tough Truffle. Yes. Then they can deploy contract on our Ethereum virtual machine environment.
Yes.
But also we have a WebAssembly environment. In this case, Plasm network is multi-virtual machine.
Yes.
And according to our survey, 40% of new projects in China are using WebAssembly rather than Ethereum virtual machine. So supporting WebAssembly is really important for us. And natively, we are natively supporting WebAssembly. So it's very easy to deploy Ink contract. Ink is the EDSL language made by Parity Technologies, a smart contract language for Polkadot. So you can make Ink contract and deploy on our WebAssembly environment as well. I think the by supporting two different network environment, this is going to be a differentiator in the ecosystem.
So WebAssembly is, you know, obviously kind of a bytecode VM kind of structure, right? But, you know, isn't it the case that, like, at that point you can start to compile additional languages like Rust and, you know, into yeah. WebAssembly, right? So in a sense, like, it opens the programming model substantially, if that's fair to say. That's one of the excitements.
But we need some sort of like open Zeppelin for WebAssembly.
Yes.
So we can use a lot of, you know, languages such as Rust, Go, even Kotlin or something like that.
Yeah.
But we do need, you know, the tool to make secure smart contract.
Yes. Yes, no question. I mean, I think one of the things that is always a hazard of kind of arbitrary Turing completeness is that you can create incredible security, you know, giant holes. So, you know, I think it's very complex and difficult to converge this unless you have a great Open Zeppelin or framework. So that's nice. That's a good perspective and very useful. So I think evolution is good. One thing I'm very curious about, though, when you talk about performance is, you know, I do think it's clear that, like, WASM has kind of a fast performance in terms of the engine, but, like, isn't the kind of issue more related to consensus around kind of overall performance?
Yeah, but it is true. But the great beauty of Substrate is we can choose consensus itself. So we have a POA implementation, the proof of stake implementation, and the original implementation called Babe and Grandpa and Aura. So this is like original implementation for Polkadot. So the beauty of Substrate is if proof of authority implementation does not work, we have another choice. So we can customize blockchain itself.
So I have a question for you, though, right? Which is that in the context of the parachain, right? If obviously if Plasm is successful in joining the parachain, like, is there still kind of a consensus layer configurability, or is it just fully kind of standard Polkadot? Like, will there be kind of like alternative zones where you're changing the kind of model, or is it all just kind of vanilla? So I'm wondering, right? Because I don't know if my question is clear.
At this moment, we have to align to Polkadot. So our consensus have to be aligned with Polkadot at this moment.
Yes.
But it should be decentralized and decentralized. So I think Polkadot is one of the most complicated blockchain network, and technical implementation is very tough. Yeah, that's why it takes a long time. The starts from 2016 or something, and then right now, 2021. It takes time. So the beauty of the Polkadot is taking centralized approach toward decentralization. So at this moment, if we became a parachain, our network will be, I think, centralized. But we are making centralized network toward decentralization. So that is okay. And centralized approach should be faster than the decentralized approach. The first point, but important things is we are going to be a decentralized, you know, direction. So at the first point, I think the consensus is limited, but in the long run, it should be decentralized.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think having that configurability, one question that I have for you is, at the layer of programming, can you establish sort of a consensus policy? So if you're deploying, can you deploy onto a heterogeneous network of nodes that implement, you know, different consensus, and can you be segregated into a zone based on your application policy? Like, is that a meaningful kind of a idea of that the program has a deployment descriptor that kind of specifies a consensus, you know, method or a consensus tolerance, right? Because in a sense, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, application tuning for optimal performance and trust, like it, you know, to me, the dream is that this can be implemented in a deployment descriptor, or it can be implemented, you know, at the application layer, and you can just request the network. You can say, I want it really fast. I'm not as obsessed with the security. So these are the questions.
Oh, you mean the discussion is not only about Plasma Network, but also about the other parachains, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what's the general model for selecting novel consensus variations?
Yeah, we have some implementations such as POS, POA, POW, some parachains are supporting proof of stake, like Plasma Network, and some parachains are supporting proof of work. And some parachains are supporting proof of authority, and the consensus, you know, consortium blockchain or even private blockchain can be connected to Polkadot. In this case, it should be like a POA chain, and we have many parachains that support various consensus. But you can deploy any sort of the same contract on any parachain because the very low level is the same. All parachains are based on substrate. Mm. So I believe the migration cost from one parachain to another parachain should be easier and very simple, even though the consensus is different.
I see. So in general, then, what you would do is you would basically select a parachain that fit ideally your characteristics that you were looking for, and then stay there.
If you cannot find the ideal parachain, you can make it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, makes sense. That's exciting. So in terms of like Polkadot readiness, right? So you mentioned that there were auctions up and coming, right? Like, is there a strong sense about like mainnet kind of feeling, like with respect to the main Polkadot rather than Kusama?
Yeah, that is a tough question from, you know, people at this moment. Actually, no one knows when we have a Polkadot mainnet. Yes. I mean, Polkadot mainnet parachain, because it depends on Kusama parachain. But Kusama parachain is going to be live in months, 1 month or two,
wow.
I hope. But it is developed by Parity Technologies, so we are following their developments.
Amazing.
And once it's ready, I think we are also ready to become a Kusama parachain. And the Common Good parachain will be connected to Kusama. The Common Good parachain is the general blockchain, general parachain for Common Good in ecosystem. And after that, auction starts. And then the blockchain will be connected one by one. Probably Plasma Network can be a first, and the other parachain can be second, and the other parachain will be third. And once, you know, around 10 blockchain are connected, Polkadot auction will be, you know, happen. So I assume the Polkadot parachain auction is this summer, or, you know, I think it's in this year, I hope.
Wow, that's exciting.
Recently I changed my mind. Currently, I'm not predicting the future because we are building the future.
Yes, right? I like that. I like that. Very good. So one question I always ask is sort of, what is your kind of individual superpower? Like, what makes your, you know, how do you, what do you think, you know, is your, what's your best thing, you know, personally? Like, what is it that makes you, you know, sort of a unique participant? You know, you've done some incredible work, so I'd love to kind of get your recipe or.
Cool. I think I'm motivated by the vision of the Web3. So I would like to belong to something bigger than me. And I'm going to be 26 in this week.
Wow.
So I could not participate in the internet evolution because I was not in the us yet. Right? And and also I could not participate in mobile because I was in a junior high school or something like that. So so blockchain is the first evolution which I can be a part of it from scratch.
Wow.
So this is what I'm really excited about right now. And I bet Web3 in the long run for more than 10 years. So I don't care about, price. I don't care about bull market or, bear market. This is very short-term perspective, right?
Yes.
So I bet on Polkadot and the Web3 in the long run. So I don't care about this kind of market.
Yes.
But we really care about technology and the potential of the Web3. I think this make a difference in the long run.
I'm very excited to hear you say that. I feel very connected to that vision because for me, I remember when I was 26. It actually was the year 1995, and it was the year that I joined
Oh, I'm born.
Sun Microsystems, actually. So I joined Sun in 95, and the Java team. So we popularized the Java programming language in those days. So that was the first wave of the internet. Very old days, but I think the excitement that you're describing was definitely there, and it's there for this now. And one of the things I've been really passionately advocating is there's so many crazy people who think they missed Bitcoin, and who think that they, and the thing I really want to help everyone try to understand is that, it's all about building this future, and that really open source software is incredibly patient. Because open source software knows that it's going to win, right? And that open source software knows that it will be the best software. And the reason why it knows that is because it continues to improve always, right? And so, so for me, that kind of long time preference and long time horizon has always provably been the best approach to Bitcoin and blockchain and everything, right? Which is that, instead of trying to get onto the hot coin that flies to the moon, just slow down and relax. Like you didn't miss anything. Like it's still happening. You just have to pay attention. You just have to pay attention. And I think the thing you're saying that I love the most is you're saying that the most precious thing is this developer, and really how you treat the developer, is the key. So, I think that this approach is super exciting. I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think you really helped explain a lot of great things about sort of your own passion and motivation, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, thanks so much. I do agree with you. Like, open source network always win. If we see the history, it's obvious.
Yes.
So why not focusing on the open source and the Web3, which can be invented through blockchain technologies?
Yeah, that's the best. So I'm very excited to hear you say that. So with respect to kind of the Polkadot ecosystem, what are the projects other than Plasm that you're excited by? Obviously the Polkadot main net and Kusama, but any other Polkadot projects that you think are underappreciated or exciting?
That is a good question. We have been working with a lot of Polkadot project, and one of the most interesting project in my mind is Akara Network.
Yes.
So Akara is making DeFi hub on Polkadot, and the Akara is popular, so many people may know. And I know Akara team before they started Akara, so
Wow.
this is like a long journey. And we have been working together, and we have completed the first cross-chain messaging passing. So this means two Polkadot parachain communicated each other. And we transfer our token to Akara, and we receive the Akara token to Plasm.
Wow.
So interoperability was buzzword, but it became reality on testnet. I hope it will be live on mainnet in this year, in coming months. So if we can make the cross-chain messaging passing happen, I think this is going to be a game changer.
We can
broaden the horizon.
Wow, that's delightful. And, you know, I've invited Ru Tao to talk about Akala and, of course, Laminar on my show. So hope to have him also in the future. So I'm really happy to hear the shout out. He's absolutely a tremendous innovator and an exciting team. So it's a really great, it's great to see. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know you already touched upon this, but I'm always kind of seeking out individual perceptions of this big idea, right? Because obviously we touched on open source, we touched on Web3, we touched on Polkadot, and we touched on Plasm. But like, is there a big idea behind everything? Like, how do you see this unfolding, this big, you know, vision? Obviously, you described this wave of blockchain, right, as almost a internet-sized wave. But like, you know, in terms of how do you see this big idea? Right. Like I'm always inspired by Steve Jobs and his idea of personal computing. Right. So I'm always interested to try to understand people's big ideas.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks for the question. So my big idea is currently in my mind, I have a Web3. So Web3 is the, you know, broad concept. So if anyone can understand, you know, precisely. But Web3 is the next generation decentralized web that takes, you know, control back from the centralized authority. And the most important thing for Web3 is, in my opinion, verifiability. So currently, when we use internet, we don't know, you know, what I'm paying and what I'm receiving and who are controlling my data. Because it's like a black box.
Yes.
So when I use Twitter, the Twitter is managing my data, and they are selling my data to other entity, maybe. And we cannot verify their behavior.
Yes.
But blockchain is different. So basically, you know, clients can be connected directly to programming code. So let's say, you know, smart contract. When I use smart contracts through MetaMask, MetaMask is directly connected to smart contract. And we can see what I'm paying, how many ETH I'm paying right now, and what I'm receiving. Probably it can be an ERC-20 token or ERC, you know, 721 NFT, maybe. And also when and how can we pay?
Mm.
And this record will be, you know, recorded on Ethereum blockchain. So it is verifiable. So blockchain make it possible to directly connect from user to application. So this is the important things. And the blockchain is not Web3, right? Bitcoin is not Web3.
Yes.
And Ethereum is not Web3.
Yes.
So, I mean, Bitcoin is not web.
Right.
So we need an interface between Bitcoin,
yes,
blockchain,
yes,
and the human being. So, but blockchain is not ready. So we are focusing on making blockchain better. But after doing so, I'm really interested in making the interface between blockchain and the human being. So this is going to be a Web 3.0.
I love it.
Yeah, but it's going to be a long run.
yeah. But I love this, right? Because the thing that we're starting to see is the collapse of the limitation of the first internet. Like, one of the things that happened is that billions of passwords and user IDs are being sold on the dark web, right? So there's no...
Yeah.
The other thing that's happening is that reputation can be kind of changed by and commoditized by things like... artificial personalities and, you know, things like deep fake. So the authenticity of humans on the network can be challenged. The reputation can be challenged. You know, fake videos can be produced. So the authenticity of everything can be challenged, right? Of course, the thing that's amazing about what you describe about things like data and, you know, stolen data, right, is in essence what you're saying is that the network becomes permissionless for the user. But then the organizations may have to ask permission, right? They may have to ask permission to use, you know, the user's data, right? So in a sense, it's so interesting to see this inversion, you know, because it's really changing the power, right? So the power is coming to the user, and not the user is no longer kind of just, I don't know, being used.
Yeah, so I think this is the core philosophy of Plasma Network. So we are making protocol for people and governed by the people. So, you know, the user and the developer are more important than, you know, very selected VC or say very selected, you know, core team, because we are making the open and permissionless protocol. But that's why we have conducted the very fair launch and the distributed token to user first.
Wonderful. It's so interesting, right? Because it's making me think that Polkadot is like an entire planet, and it's almost like Plasm is a country, you know, and in a sense, you have your own rules of citizenship, you know, and you have your own membership, you know, ideas, right? So in a sense, it's sort of like, please live in this country. You know, this will be the most fun for you. Right? This will have the most services for you, or you know. So, in a sense, the developers are the inhabitants, and eventually the users. So, you know, I think that's the amazing thing.
Yeah, and they also DeFi was a buzzword, and NFT is coming right now. And the next big thing is decentralized autonomous organization. Yeah, that's why we are aiming to make the DAO.
Yes.
In the Polkadot ecosystem. And to make a DAO, fair launch was necessary.
That's wonderful. I think one of the, just as a kind of a closing note, you know, the DAO has, DAOs have been recognized by the state of Wyoming as fully legal entities, right? So to me, like, that's a step forward from a regulatory perspective, because I think in a sense, it's a new entity and it's a new formation, and it's sort of historically unprecedented. So it's fundamentally different from a corporation. So, you know, I think the separate legal recognition is quite surprising and, you know, very beneficial.
Yep.
Well, it's been a tremendously exciting conversation. I really appreciate you explaining these very complex topics such an elegant way. So, you know, it's been a great satisfaction for me.
Yeah, thanks so much. It can be technical. Sorry for that. Thank you for the support.
Of course.
Thank you for your explanation as well.
Oh, no, it's been a great, great show. Thanks so much.